Well, let us start with a prayer. Let's pray together. Well, dear Lord God, you are our Heavenly Father, and you are good and beautiful. Lord, we pray for all the missionaries everywhere in the world, whether they are in Europe or in Africa, in Asia, in Australia, or in the Americas. Lord, we pray that you work through them and that your grace be sufficient to each one of them, and that they may see the work of their hands come to fruit. And Lord, may your name be glorified through the work of our missionaries, and we pray for your protection, and that you would bless them abundantly. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, good morning. Well, it's a privilege to be standing here and give a message on the Father's Day. So on this Father's Day, let's consider some fathers in the animal kingdom. Well, zoologists have observed certain species that are considered good fathers and certain are bad fathers. So let's look at the pictures. Can I have the PowerPoint? Okay, yeah. Hey, it's not moving. Okay, yeah. All right, okay, yeah. You know the emperor penguins. Well, they are good fathers. They keep the eggs safe from the freezing weather. Literally, it's freezing in Antarctica, of course. And keeping their babies nestled between their feet. Okay, yeah, just like that. So keep them warm and covered with their feathery skin. So the father, they may have to care for the babies without eating for up to 2 months. Wow. While the mothers go searching for food. Okay. Good fathers, huh? Yeah, protecting the children. And without eating. All right. Can I have the PowerPoint? Yeah, yeah. And the seahorses. Hey, do you know, actually, seahorses is the males who give birth. Did you know that? So the mothers deposit their eggs into the male's pouch in the front, and then get fertilized in the father. So hey, talk about fatherhood. Well, the father actually creates a favorable environment within the pouch that is optimal for the development of the eggs, and they would care for the babies until they are fully formed, which may take as long as 45 days. Okay. And the frogs, they guard the eggs laid by the females, and they would carry the hatch tadpoles, see, piggyback on the back of the frog. Okay. Carry the tadpoles on their back, or some would put the tadpoles in the mouth. Okay. Not to eat them, but to protect them. Okay. So these are good fathers that take care of the babies, of their offsprings all throughout, okay? Now, how about some bad fathers? Okay, yeah, lions, what can I say? They are greedy and lazy. The males, they just spend most of their day lying around in shade, waiting for the females to bring home food. And once the mother brings home food, who gets the food first? Yeah, the father. They would eat most of the food and just leave scraps, literally scraps, for the children. Well, talk about selfish fathers. Okay, how about the grizzly bears? Okay, wow, it's so cute, this picture, but you know they are really fierce, and don't walk near one. Well, the grizzly bears, the males, they after mating, they would just walk away. Yeah, they just walk away. They just leave the females alone, and then the female would give birth and take care of the babies, and the males just walk away, absent father. They would not take any responsibility. And in addition to being an absent father, the males, they would sometimes, if their own cubs, their own children, ever enter their territories, the fathers would actually kill and eat the cubs. Wow. Talk about cruel fathers. Okay, how about the sea bass, the fish? Well, they will protect the newborns for a while, just long enough for the strong ones to grow and swim away. What about the weaker ones? Yeah. The sea bass would, when the stronger ones they swim away, then the male, the father would eat the weaker children as a reward for themselves and for the nutrient. Do we see parallels in our societies of this good and bad fathers? Yeah. Sadly, a lot of in reality, no father is perfect. Okay. Let's look at the traits of good father. So, what are the traits? People would think that a good father would be love and affection, empathy and understanding, encouragement and support, nurturing and protective, patience and wisdom, okay, involvement and presence, okay. What else? Providing and protecting, dependability and consistency, forgiveness, generosity, honesty and integrity, and respect for the mother, and leading by example. All right. Yeah, when I reflect on these qualities, I see some of them from time to time in my own life, and but of course, there are lots of shortcomings on my part too. My son would know. Yeah, and of course, Belinda would know. Hey, but that's everyone of us who are fathers. We are not perfect. We are sometimes we do better. Sometimes we have our own shortcomings. And when I think of my own father, I certainly see those. Hey, guess who is the baby in my father's hand? That's me, and that's my older brother and sister. Okay. Yeah, and of course, my father grew old. All right. Well, of course, he was also no perfect father, and there's no perfect father in on earth. I was well, it was not until that he's gone that I see the more and more good qualities in him. And well, don't wait until your father is gone. Try to discover the good qualities of your fathers. Well, our earthly father may exhibit certain goodness because this is from God. It's God's intention from the beginning of creation. And that through the goodness of our earthly fathers, we may see the goodness of our heavenly Father. And we can see that from Genesis 1, when God created the world. Our God is the good and beautiful creator. And by the way, this is the first of my two talks about our good and beautiful God. So in another 2 weeks' time, I'm going to be visiting this topic again from a different angle. But first, we need to appreciate that our God, He is the good and beautiful Creator, as the Bible tells us right from the beginning. And this is from Genesis. Well, we are you familiar with Genesis 1 when God created the world? Okay, well, I will quickly read you from Genesis 1. Okay, well, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, so there was nothing, absolutely nothing. And darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So we see the Spirit of God working in the creation. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Just by God's word, the word, the order, the physics principles were created. God saw that the light was good. Remember this word, good, okay? And He separated the light from the darkness. Okay, so throughout the 6 days, God created something, and then at the end of the day, He said, good. All right, okay. So we jump to the creation of human. So God created mankind in His own image. This is important. God created us in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female. Okay, male and female. Very clear. All right. He created them. God created them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." And then, well, God took responsibility and provided food for every living creature. So then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food." Okay, so notice, well, when God created the world, the creation, all humans were vegetarian. Okay? God's original design originally was that we eat no meat, okay? Because in the original perfect world, there shouldn't be any killing. All right? And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. And notice, what did lions eat in those days? Plants. What did the grizzly bears eat in those days? Plants. Okay. Well, that was the perfect world. And on the sixth day, God saw all that He had made, and it was very good. Notice, very good, not just good, very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. So, what does it mean to be good? Well, we may use the word good in a lot of ways, but mostly when we say something is good, what do we really mean? Oh yeah, good. You can hear. Okay, that means, okay, yeah, not bad, acceptable. Okay, yeah, that will do. Something like that, right? Most of the time. But actually, in the original language, in the Hebrew, okay, good, this word, the Hebrew word is tov, T-O-V, tov. Okay, next time when you eat tofu, think that, oh yeah, it's good tofu. All right, it's not just okay, acceptable. It points to something very satisfying. Look at all the meanings. Pleasant, desirable, okay, pleasing, and beautiful. and good as to the character and value, morally good, qualitative good, and, well, of course, it also includes the meaning of usable and efficient. So, and on the sixth day, it's very good, tov melud. That means good to the highest degree. Okay. So, in the original creation, God's creation was very good, good to the highest degree, good and beautiful. Here are some pictures that our brothers and sisters took. Okay, I took this one. Okay, even this is an imperfect world now. We can still see the beauty of God's creation, right? Okay, just look at the sky. It seems to proclaim the glory of God. And the splendor of God, it says you are clothed with splendor and majesty. Imagine this is the night sky, is a cloth that God puts on. All right. Or the flowers, wow. Okay, just like Jesus said, okay, this is a lily on the right side. Not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of this. Or some amazing insects. Hey, I know some girls are scared of insects, right? Or even some guys. Okay, but look at them closely. They are amazing. Actually, quite beautiful in many ways. And as the Bible, as Romans 1:20 says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. God's goodness and beauty can be seen and understood in the creation he made. And so we see that from the creation, God is good and beautiful. Not only created beautiful things, he also made them, designed them with good intention. And he created everything good and beautiful, including us. Okay. And when he created the world, the good and beautiful creator, he made the ecosystem sustainable in every good ways. That was the original design. And human, notice, we, as the image of God, we have a special place, being Son of God. That's in Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, that's what Adam was called, Son of God. And being his image, we inherit the goodness and beauty of God. Because, hey, how many of you notice, if you remember your father, as you grow up, you look more and more like, well, not only in appearance, but in a lot of personality or characteristic, you look more and more like your father. Anyone? Yeah, we inherit from our father. So it's natural. God created us as in his image. We inherit the goodness and beauty. And as the representative of God in his creation, human beings, we should reflect the goodness and beauty of our Creator God, our Heavenly Father. Well, but notice that I said the creation was good in every way originally. Why? Because that was what it used to be when God created the world. But sin came into the world through Adam and Eve. So sin has distorted human sense of good and beauty. And human often take what is really evil to be good and what is good to be evil. Just look at this. Well, the riot, the fightings in LA. Well, is it not right to expel illegal immigrants? Well, I'm just asking question. I'm not expressing a stand, okay? Or the war in Middle East or in Ukraine and Russia, okay? People think killing and trying to gain territories, power is good. Or abortion is a human right? Or how about the Pride Days? Hey, do you know June is the Pride Month, what they call the Pride Month? Do you know what the Pride Month is? To celebrate the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexual, LGBT, and queers. Yeah, Q, yeah. And then plus, anything else. Okay, yeah. Remember in Genesis, it says God created human, what? Male and female, very clear. And they are trying to overturn that. So they have their personal homosexual life. Okay, yeah, that's their business. But in the parade, they are also trying to promote promiscuity and nudity. Sin brings to the world and struggles and hardship in the world and all the reverse logics. Well, my father, before I talk about my father, we also see a lot of poverty. Okay, you know, that's in Hong Kong. Yeah, people live in the cage, not even a room. It's a room and then cages inside. Or you see the slums all around the world. And even in the United States, you see many homeless. A few months ago, I went back to Sydney for a visit. And when I walk around in the city of Sydney, well, outside the window of LV and, you know, all the, what are the famous brands? Dolce and whatever, yeah. Just right outside the window, right in front, homeless people were sitting and sleeping there. And we may think, what's wrong with this world? People are going through such struggles and hardship. And when I think about it, okay, sometimes a lot of people blame it on God. Okay, God, why did you let this evils happening in the world? No. The book of James reminds us, do not be deceived. Well, let's read together. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of light, who caused all this inequality and poverty and wars and stuff. Who caused those? Yeah, human beings. Yeah, us. Because of sin. And of course, Satan was working behind to make people do certain things. Well, when I think about it, That's why we have anxiety. We have to struggle with life on earth. And my father went through his share of hardship too. When he was young, it was World War II, okay? You cannot really see from the picture. It was World War II, and China was wrecked by the war. Our extended family members, they had a difficult time in their daily needs. So my father decided to travel across the ocean to Indonesia. That's a relatively peaceful region of the world during that time. And there he taught at a school, and he supported the needs of the extended family. And I can't imagine the kind of anxieties and worries living in that era, World War II. You know, the war is going on, and when there was, there seems to be no end to the war, and there's no guarantee that you will still be living tomorrow. But my father, he was a believer, and he trusted in the Heavenly Father, because our Heavenly Father is the good and beautiful giver. He knows our needs and will sustain us. So let's read this bit. We didn't read it. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Okay, yep. So there's a command from our Lord. Do not be anxious about your life. And how do we do that? Look, that's a command. Look at the birds of the air. Hey, every day when I walk on the street, I see some sparrows on the ground, okay, flying around. Okay, I'm reminded they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet our Heavenly Father feeds them. So, and we read this passage already. And also the command, consider the lilies or any beautiful flowers. And even Solomon in his all his glory was not clothed like one of those. Well, we living in the 21st century, we often have this misconception about the ancients, that they all dress similar without much choice of fashion or delicacy for food. But in fact, in archaeology, we found out ancient people, they are actually no different to us, particularly the Romans. These are from the there was a city called Pompeii that was buried under volcano ashes, and they dug it up and found all this paintings and stuff. This is one of the Romans' shoes, okay? Pretty good design, right? You can sell it in Land Crawford or something, right? And look at their life. They all enjoy good food and sex. And look at this woman. Look pretty fashionable, right? That's a stylus. That's not a pen, okay? And that's not a book, not a notebook. That's a clay tablet. Okay. They are really not that much different to us, right? So, the poor people, they had their share of anxieties in life. But the rich people, they also had their share of anxieties. They want to crave for good food, good fashion and stuff. And when we see that, the anxieties we bring up on ourselves. And when we see that the best of the world can offer actually is nowhere near as good as what our Heavenly Father can provide, just like he provides for the birds and for the flower, we have no need to be anxious. So therefore, do not be anxious. Remember our Father, he is the good and beautiful creator. In him are the best things. Remember in Genesis, after God created the world, he said, very good. How can you do better than God? So rather than prioritizing the inferior things in this world, we should prioritize on the best thing of the Father and to rely on him and to live under His kingdom's rule. That's why we are told to seek first the kingdom of God and to seek His righteousness is to live the right way He wishes for us to live on earth, and He will take care of the rest for us. So after World War II was over, my father came back to Hong Kong. Well, he came to Hong Kong and started his own business, and he was trading with other businessmen, and he went to Australia for business, and all the time he was supporting the extended family and church. You cannot see, but this is a church mission going on there. Yeah. And well, he was well provided by God. Okay. I remember seeing him bowing down on his bed every morning to pray and dedicate each day to the Heavenly Father. And his business was blessed that our family was not lacking in what we eat or what we drink or what we wear. Our Heavenly Father was certainly faithful. And I remember during one of my last conversations with my father, he said with emotion, "God had been good to me. Remember to trust and follow Him." That's what my father said. So our Heavenly Father has the best thing in store, and He will give us, and He will give to us when we set our priorities right. And when we set our priority on God's kingdom and His righteousness, we won't be lacking. And Jesus trying to reaffirm that God will answer to us. So He said in Matthew 7, let's read together, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him?" Well, where are the commands? Ask, seek, and knock is actually in an escalation about making the request. So ask is simply making a request. Seek, actively pursue. And then knock, persistent, going after. So we are encouraged by our Lord to ask our Father, and then what will happen? He will give good things. Okay, yeah. Of course, our Heavenly Father knows us better than ourselves. So if we ask for a stone for food, would He give us a stone for food? No, He would give us a bread. So sometimes we ask stuff that we think is good for us, but our Heavenly Father say, no, that's actually bad for you. That snake is going to bite you. So He is going to give us something even better. That's for sure. But we have to ask. And Jesus follow on says, "So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets." See the relationship? So we receive good things from our Father, but not to indulge in those things, to enjoy for ourselves, is actually, remember the kingdom's principle is to love one another, to love your neighbor. So we are to share with others. That's how we seek the kingdom of God on earth. So our Heavenly Father wants to give us good things. He wants to give good things to his children. This is actually restoring his kingdom on earth. Remember, the creation was wrecked by sin. And this is how God restored the kingdom on earth through his children. And so the purpose, well, of course, we have to ask our Father. But the purpose of giving us good things in life is that we may model our God, our Heavenly Father, in blessing others, loving others. This is the principle of love in his kingdom. Let us pray together. Well, dear Lord God, we thank you because you are the good and beautiful Father. And you know our needs, and you would provide for us. When we look around the world, it seems like a broken world. When we look at the future of Hong Kong or the world, it seems to be full of obstacles, difficulties, and it makes us anxious, give us anxieties, worries. But Lord, you are a good God. You will look after us and you will provide for us, just like you provide for the birds and you made the flowers beautiful. Lord, so help us to focus on you, on your kingdom and your righteousness, that we do not have to be anxious anymore, but we may focus on the good and beautiful things in life that you bring into our lives. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.